another episode of the We Have a Meeting podcast. We've got the CEO of Sharar, a well-being and mental health tech startup. I'm excited to dig deeper into the world of well-being and the world of entrepreneurship. Laurie Haynes, how are you?
I'm very well, Jack. How are you?
I'm very well. We're going to say the word well a lot with the topic being well-being today. I'm going to hit you with a big open question like we start all of our podcasts.
Yeah.
Who are you and what problem do you solve?
Wow. Such a big question so early on. Didn't give me a chance to warm up, no?
No time to breathe in this game, Laurie.
So as you mentioned, I'm Laurie Haynes. I'm the CEO of a well-being and mental health technology platform called Sharar. And myself, who am I? Very big question. I am somebody that's been through a lot in life. And I am somebody that wanted to use all of the resilience that I've built and all of the knowledge that I've gained, some from self-inflicted experiences and some from experiences that I've inherited, solely not at my own cost. And I wanted to collate that all together and really try and use my platform and use everything that I've been through to put it into one place to try and help people, try and simplify certain processes and elements that people can utilize throughout life to help themselves. And these are the things that I've used in my own life as well. So for me, my whole mental health and well-being journey through a traumatic, turbulent childhood, all the way through to from my senior years, grown into an entrepreneur, the ups, the downs, and everything in between, I have put together and put it into a platform called Sharar. But we can dive into that and I can go through some of the things that I've been through, which might resonate with some of your fans, your followers. And I can also talk a little bit more about Sharar and what it is and what it does and what we're aiming to do in the space.
Yeah, definitely. And we're definitely going to get there. I guess if I was talking to Laurie a decade ago, who would I be talking to? What would he be saying?
Laurie a decade ago was a guy that always had aspirations and a deep inner feeling to be more than he was then and to be more than the folks that I was surrounded by. I always felt I had a greater purpose inside, but I was sort of stuck behind my own virtual barriers and these virtual walls that I set myself because I had limited beliefs. And growing up in the place that I grew up, a lot of people don't really make it out. The furthest place they'll make it is normally on a bus to jail or in a hospital bed or somewhere else, right? So to escape, so say, the life that I had growing up, which as I mentioned was very traumatic and a lot of things and events happened through in my whole childhood, many of which I don't actually remember due to some social blocks and stuff that I'm still currently working on now with my therapy team. But the guy that I was, and it's quite a tricky question when I get asked this because I often forget who I was. I don't forget how far I've come, believe me not, but I forget the guy that I was, and trying to unpack it sometimes, it does take a lot of emotional strain on me. And sometimes when I finish podcasts or I finish doing talks on stage and certain things, I'm like, I didn't even remember that part. And it's really, I don't know where it's gone and where it's been. So I was a guy that was a little bit lost, really. So from a young age, I had multiple father figures. I witnessed a lot of abuse around my mother, drug taking, alcohol played a huge part within the family home. And really, it was the lack of emotional stability and the emotional support that I didn't get from my parents. And it really then, it was the norm to me. I only really understood that things weren't great or right as the years went on and as I've developed and spent a lot of time trying to understand certain behaviours within myself that I've realised that X, Y and Z from my past wasn't great, right? But at the time, going through it for the age of 7 all the way through to your teen years and so on, you don't quite know, you can't place a finger on it, but inside you feel a trigger point. It might be something and you don't know why that is. It could be the way you react to someone beeping at you in the street. So I had a lot of pride and ego, which I had to use in order to keep myself alive through my younger years. I was homeless. I experienced getting in trouble with the police, the law a lot. A lot of my friends went to jail. And I realized that that wasn't the life that I wanted or liked. But I didn't know how to navigate my way out of it. I knew I had this burning desire to be more than what I was, but I didn't know how. I would look for the weekends to go out and drink alcohol, take drugs. And that was really my life. We had a local job. Every penny that you earned, you spent on alcohol and just, you know, trying to buy a new tracksuit to impress a local girl. And it was just a vicious cycle that I could never really get out of. So I quit smoking. I stopped smoking weed. I decided not to drink alcohol. I'd go from drinking 3-4 times a week just to a Saturday night, which was great for me back then because we would drink all the time. And then I started to realize that I had more worth than working for the salary that I was on at the age of 17 and 18. And I knew that I had to try and move away from the current crowds and people that I was surrounding myself with because, you know, you are that statistic that is shared a lot is one of the five you spend your time with, right? And I truly believe in the power of that. So I then got into a career path within the jewelry industry, buying jewelry. So I was out knocking doors, buying jewelry from the public, melting it into bars, and then shipping it on and selling it on. And I quickly found myself in success. The money was flowing in. So I've gone from homeless, holes in my clothes, deprived upbringing to now having money, having a bit of power as such, right? Where you can buy what you want when you want it. And I then quickly turned from this poverty-ridden child with traumas into this young man that knew the greater ambitions that I felt inside were now coming to the surface. I then become money hungry. I then became very successful. But what happened is in that process, I forgot who I was. And I then started using money to validate the person that I was trying to become. And everything had a cost acquisition to it. And that was relationship with friends, family, anybody that sort of stood in my way, I would have mowed them down. And some would say that's great. Cut off the string, the hangers, the people that are bringing you back, of which I did. And I still strongly advocate that and believe in that. Remove what no longer serves you, as brutal as that sounds. Even family members. But I then quickly was using money to validate my inner feelings because I wasn't working on a deeper belief level with therapy and certain kind of tools. So buying Lamborghinis, Rolls Royces, Ferraris, having drivers, Rolexes, Patek Philippe's, Richard Mille's, Dubai trips, first class, yachts. That quickly became a lifestyle because it served me internally. It gave me a sense of worth because I never had that emotional stability growing up, so I never had any worth. So self-worth to me was a pound note. And that's a very poor trap to fall into. And I know there's a lot of young people there want to be entrepreneurs, and some of them don't actually understand the terminology of what entrepreneurship actually is. Because if you think you're going to have jets and boats and all these lovely women, the Andrew Tates of the world, if you believe that is what's to come tomorrow, it's not the reality, yeah? And I'm not saying you can't get there with hard work, and luck follows hard work. Anyone can get to where they want if they set goals and ambitions and targets and they stick to it and they're disciplined and they follow a routine and a ritual. You can get anywhere you want in life. But what I'm trying to get to is do not validate your internal emotions by comparison of money, monetary value, because that won't serve, you know, that won't make you happy. And I say happy very loosely because happiness is a stimulation you feel. Happiness is not a destination. You do not arrive at happiness. You'll feel happiness, sadness, upset, anger, amongst many other feelings every day. That's a part and parcel of life, alongside dopamine, endorphins, oxytocin, serotonin. This is why humans actually thrive and survive in life. You're looking for that next stimulation hit. Without any stimulation, you have no purpose. So you'll merely be just existing, right? Just literally breathing oxygen. So you need to understand what stimulation hits you want. Why are you seeking dopamine and endorphins? For me, it was that feeling of having a big gold watch on my wrist and people looking at that watch, then believing that I had some kind of hierarchical position over them. And that all stems from, as I mentioned, from the upbringing, not having any validation from a family member, someone giving you that kiss on the head, telling you they love you at night, someone tucking you in bed. there's no reassurance in understanding you could wake up tomorrow hearing your mum get beat up or your brother's getting strangled or the social services coming in. When you don't know and you've got all this uncertainty around you, you may be a confident person on the outside, but inside you're still that inner child that has all of those vulnerabilities and problems. And that's why I was using money to validate all of those reasons. And it then took me 5 years of therapy using every platform on the market to really try and get to grips with who I wanted to be. And I've been 14 and a half stone, back down to 6-pack, back down up to 14 and a half stone, eating takeaways, just quick laziness, quick dopamine hits, back to drinking alcohol 3 times a week, whether it was 2 beers a night or going out on a binge drinking Zambuca shots. There was no moderation level. And I was explaining this to someone yesterday about moderation, just to touch on it, that people are like, why don't you have a moderation point? And you can only believe and have moderation when you're already at your optimum. Moderation within a lifestyle that is not serving you. So if you're drinking Friday and Saturday nights, occasionally dabbling in potentially drugs or whatever, if you're vaping nonstop, if you're eating takeaways, if your house is a mess, if your bank balance is not serving you, you're in your credit card, you're in your overdraft, how can you adopt moderation into your life? Because moderation would be a balance of those negative outcomes, right? So you can only be moderate when you're at a place in life that you're happy with, that is serving you purpose, that is bringing you fulfillment. And fulfillment is an umbrella of many stimulations, dopamine, endorphins, right? And that's what I try and encourage. And that's why I then built Shira. Off the back of every platform I've ever used, I took the poor quality platforms out there, made them better. And the holes that I found in them, I replaced the holes with a feature that was needed. And I put it in one place for a cost price less than anything on the market. Because I want mental health and well-being tools to be accessible to everybody whenever they need it. Too many people focus on crisis. There's not enough focus on prevention. I hope that was not too fast for you. A little bit of a passive-aggressive rampage there. However, that's me expressing my passion for you. And I hope that the guys that are listening to this can digest that and maybe put it on 0.8 speed.
No, it definitely comes across. Thanks for being so open. Yeah, definitely passion comes across. If we can trace it back, what was the moment where you thought something's got to change? That's the moment people talk about. When I ask you that question, what comes to mind?
The moment I realized things needed to change was my deepened traumas played a huge outcome on the way I handled relationships with my son at the time, with the relationship with his mother, and other, intimate relationships. I couldn't sustain them properly. I'm not going to take full responsibility because we're all humans. We all played our part in every breakup, right? However, I knew some of my actions and responses and the way I retaliated to certain things weren't the right way of doing things, right? But it was all I knew. And I would always compare my actions to what I saw growing up and go, well, I'm not that bad. But the reality is, comparing yourself to anything, especially from a negative perspective, is never going to have a positive outcome. So I knew inside that I wanted to change. I want to be the person that people can come to and feel comfortable speaking to because they feel like they get value when they hear me speak. I've saved many lives. I've had to talk people around from suicidal thoughts all the way through to people with businesses. I helped one guy stop him from closing his company, and he's now got a successful company, and he can't thank me enough. And I look at that and I'm like, your family have got what they always wanted, and it was what you always wanted, and I stopped you from quitting. So if I can stop people from quitting on themselves, in life, on their family, on their dreams, their goals, if I can do that, that serves me purpose. Now, some would say, are you filling a gap by helping others? And I would agree most of the time I am, because I don't drink alcohol anymore. I don't touch drugs. God, you couldn't pay me millions to do that. And for me, it's I want to inspire other people to not try and not make mistakes that I made. And I was saying this the other day to my fiance, Fern. I was like, when you hear the older generation, the 78-year-old guys, and they go, if I could do things different, and all the younger generation go, oh, cool's granddad, what now? Like, you don't want to listen to these people, but if I can give you any advice, listen to them and get a notepad and pen and write it down, because their life experiences can save you a lot of pain, trauma, it save you time, it can help encourage success. And that's why I want to spread this word as loud as I can and echo it as far as I can echo it, because I believe that I've been through quite a lot compared to the average. And the magnitude of resilience I've built off the back of that, you know, in turn, it's a powerful tool to possess. And I help a lot of people that have been through traumatic times, and nothing can be compared to one or the other, you know. It's just more the point that I believe I need to spread my word, and the universe will only test the strong. And the more you come back and bounce back from any situation, the universe will hit you again and again. And people will say, why me this year? Oh, it happened last year. Why does it always come in threes? And that's not just an old wives' tale or an analogy that gets chucked around. Things do happen in threes, in batches of threes, and they keep happening because the universe will keep testing you until you make a change. Until you make a change in yourself and use what you've been through as a tool of power to help other people, things will keep happening to you. And that's what I try and encourage people to change their whole routine, their ritual, their habits, and then things will change for them.
And for people listening, particularly males, who maybe felt, you know, they can resonate with some of the stuff that you're saying around lack of emotional support and stability, maybe that relationship with self-worth, what sort of symptoms were you experiencing as a man? Like, how was that manifesting as a man, that upbringing?
So, again, growing up through my early school years, I would always fight at school. I've always been an alpha male. My pride and ego, and I always say, pride and ego will get you killed, right? You need to learn how to maintain it. Having ego is fine if you use it in the right way. If you can't control it, you need to work on that, because ego, it can be a very powerful tool, but also it can be your downfall. So as an alpha male, I struggle to take on board advice. And if someone was talking to me, this is how, and speaking back about it now, I feel embarrassed and ashamed to even admit it. But if a guy was talking to me about his experience or giving me business advice and his watch wasn't nowhere near the cost of mine, I wouldn't take it on board. How arrogant was I as a human being all those years ago? Now, I could look in the mirror and slap myself for that. You know, as I mentioned, it's embarrassing. Why did I do things like that? Because everything comes in layers like an onion, and traumas, if you allow them to hold you back, they will. So the guy I was back then didn't want to listen to anyone, thought I had the answers to everything, allowed a bit of success to go to my head. And although it made me forget where I came from, it didn't allow me to forget subconsciously the traumas that I had deep and buried, right? So if anybody wants to explode in life and become the person they dream of, or maybe they don't even dream of it yet, but they idolize someone else and you want to be like that guy, you say, I wish I had a family like that. I wish I could do holidays without having to worry. I wish I could eat what I wanted to. I wish I didn't have to argue with my wife about X, Y, and Z. I wish I didn't have to listen to my boss because I don't like him. All these wishes, if you actually put them down on paper and start dissecting them and break them down, but actually put a goal next to them and a target and actually unravel that, you will then find you've got purpose, because a purpose-driven individual is so powerful, they cannot be stopped, because a purpose-driven individual has an inner belief at the deepest belief level, which means you cannot stop that person. And that's the difference between somebody that wants to make change versus somebody that talks about change. And that's the difference between life coaching and mentorship. A mentor will tell you what you're supposed to be doing, but you will not do it. You'll be pumped and hyped for the 30 seconds, the 2 minutes you listen to this motivational speech. But when it's on a belief level, you will action that as a non-negotiable. And people have these epiphany moments, and I've had one recently. And that's why no one can stop me on the journey that I'm on, right? And it can happen in your 40s, your 30s. Don't always try and figure it out. It does happen, but it doesn't happen overnight. You have to encourage that new happening. You have to be awake to that new happening, and you have to adopt it, believe in it, accept it, allow it, And when those fight and flight emotions kick in, and when you feel like enough's enough, or it's not working out, maybe those people were right, that's when you just got to keep pushing harder and harder and harder. That's when you can't stop. And I used the voices of the score teachers who told me that I would never amount to nothing, the guys that would kick me out of score after score, all the social workers that would whisper to my mother at the time and go, he's got problems, you know, he'll probably end up in the juvenile system. All of the police officers that used to take me home and speak to my mum, all of the stepdads that used to beat us up, and all the people that used to take advantage of us as kids. I use the power from the echoness of their voices to always keep my motivation high. So when I feel like quitting, I know I can't. And that's why I hold myself accountable on social media to people, because if I quit, I let all those people down. And I prove right to those that said I would never account or amount to anything. So I make sure that I don't completely despair what they said. I don't allow it to affect me, but I make sure that they hold me accountable when I feel like giving up. Because some people say, Laurie, you're like a superhuman. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just a human. However, I do not believe that I'm allowed to quit or give up, and I will never quit or give up. And that's the difference between someone that believes in themselves and someone that doesn't.
I think there's some brilliant takeaways, some great advice on the subject of advice. And it's one of those, like, if you make a promise to yourself and then you break that one promise, then what kind of man are you? And you've kind of set your path. I speaking about your social media and holding yourself accountable, one of the things that you're quite active on is obviously like the morning routine. And I think I saw a video a couple of days ago of you jumping in an ice bath at 3 o'clock in the morning. So, but I think it's brilliant. And you hear so much about the morning routine from successful people, but you also hear the flip side of it. So if somebody's listening to this and they are somebody that works from home, they wake up at 8:45, they roll out of bed, they don't shower, they grab a can of Monster or a can of Prime or whatever the new thing is, and they start work at 9. Why are they wrong to say what you're doing is airy-fairy, I guess?
So if you are a person that's listening to this and you do all of or some of those things that you just mentioned, there's probably a lot more they're doing. If you're drinking cans of Monster the minute you wake up, getting up at 8:45, you're probably doing a whole lot of other crap in the rest of your day as well. You're probably ordering McDonald's, KFCs, eating chocolate, junk food. You're probably gaming into your cheap dopamines through the roof, right? You're probably doing a lot more than even I've just mentioned. You don't just do a small crap thing and then the rest of it's good. It's normally follows suit, right? But however, if you're content and have fulfillment within that lifestyle of the elements that me and you have just collated together, then great for you. But if you're truly not happy, and I'm not talking about the guys that are in denial and willingly blind themselves to if they're happy within themselves, if you're truly not happy with the person that you are, then you need to change. And that does mean getting up earlier. People say, well, I like staying up later. Why would you like to stay up later? Sleep is one of the most important things in the world. If you do not have a strict routine with your sleep, yeah, you will mess up your circadian rhythms. Your circadian rhythms are what regulate your mood. So if you have poor quality of sleep, you're not getting enough REM sleep, deep sleep. If your sleep is absolutely messed up, your moods are going to be messed up. So what's going to happen when you've got a crap mood? You are going to look for ways and reasons to make yourself feel better. Alcohol, chocolate, Netflix, doom scrolling through social media, right? And this is not airy-fairy. This is not jargon. The reason why platforms like social media alert you when you've been on it too long, give you insights of how long you've been scrolling. The reason why all of this is now public knowledge is because we've got the statistics and the data of generations of people that have been hammering themselves into the floor. You are what you eat is a famous analogy, and it's so true, right? Go eat a large bar of Galaxy chocolate and drink a bottle of Coke and then go do a 10K run. You will not be able to do it. Right? You're going to feel sick and bloated and lethargic. You're not going to have you're not even going to have the motivation to even try and attempt it, right? Because you are what you eat. If you don't sleep properly, you're not going to have a great mindset. If you don't have a great mindset, how are you even going to be setting goals? If you don't have any goals, you don't have any purpose. If you don't have any purpose, why are you even merely surviving? You're just going through life like a bad smell, yeah? And you're not nice to be around. People are not going to be one around a bad smell because people absorb the negativity. Have you ever walked into a room and you go, oh, okay, now I could cut this with a knife. What's going on in here? You know when people have had an argument because people, we are all human beings, but we work at frequency levels. That's why you get white noise, brown noise, pink noise, because they've got different frequencies in them that do different things in the mind with your neural pathways and how they activate different things, right? Help you sleep, X, Y, and Z. So when you walk into a room and there's been tension, you instantly feel that. That's energy. If you are that bad smell, that person that has no purpose, no goals, you're not driven, you're always moaning about the could haves and should haves and would haves and didn't haves. If you are that person, nobody will want to be around you. And then you suffer even more. Nobody will want to help you. I cannot waste any time with any individuals that are not purpose driven. Now, I'm not saying you've got to be an ultra serial entrepreneur. I'm not saying you've got to get up at 5 a.m. like I do, or quarter to five and get in an ice bath. Jesus, no, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, don't sit there and moan about your finances. Don't sit there and go, oh, I'm overweight and do nothing about it. Do not moan at who you are and what you are doing if you are not willing to take that first step towards a better you. If you don't want to better yourself for yourself or for your family, for your colleagues, for the business that you work at, which you've got a moral obligation as an employee, that's what you sign up for. If you cannot be that person that wants to help those around you, then why can you deserve to sit there and moan? Don't sit there and moan. Make a change. Get up because you're in control of your own actions. No one told me that I had to change. I could have still been eating five takeaways a week, drinking beers three times a week, staying at 14 and a half stone. Hell, I could have probably climbed to 16 stone. I could have kept walking around feeling unhappy. I was moaning about everything. But the reality is I wasn't nowhere near fulfilled or content. And again, inverted commas, I use the word loosely. I was nowhere near happy at any point. I knew things had to change. And if you know things have to change inside, you have to start. And to start, you need to write down, what do you want from life? And I don't mean write down a bloody jet and a boat and a Rolex. If you do that, you're setting yourself up to fail straight away. People say, set big goals, dream big. But not for someone who's never dreamt before. Start small. Set goals that are attainable. The small goals. Wake up and make your bed every day. So at least if you've had a shit day and you come home, at least you've come home to something made, right? And that's a famous saying across many podcasts. At least make your bed. At least drink enough water. At least say something nice and kind to someone else to help their day. At least do some small, mundane, trivial things that you can do every day. It doesn't matter what your background is in life. It doesn't matter what disabilities you might carry as a human being. Everybody can compliment someone. Most people, to a degree, can make their own bed. Most people can drink enough water. And most people can set a bedtime. You're not a bloody child. Set a bedtime and set a wake-up time. And do not ever hit that snooze button. That snooze button is your weakness button. The minute you press snooze, you are accepting failure. The minute you don't do something you set yourself up for, you're accepting failure. Everything you do from the small, mundane, trivial things, the tiniest things, from the way you tie your shoelaces to the way you execute a business deal, everything matters. When I hear someone say, well, that doesn't matter. Yeah, but that doesn't really matter. How many of them things that don't matter in 12 months? So you're going to have a magnitude of don't matters. How many things do matter then? Because unless you're an articulate person who's in control of their own emotions and actually can list down the things that do and don't matter, you can't say that to me. I want to see what does matter. And the things that matter, I want to see them in an order, a hierarchical order that you're going to follow and execute. Because if you don't do those important things, everything's not going to matter.
Okay. And I'm listening to this now. I'm walking to work. I'm feeling fired the fuck up, Laurie, and I'm thinking, you know what, this guy's convinced me, I'm gonna go all in. I've got all my casino chips, they're going all in. If I wanted to copy what you do in the morning, what does that look like? What is your morning routine?
So my morning routine starts from the night before. Plan what you're gonna do tomorrow. Yeah, no one can wake up, no one goes to the airport without a ticket and a destination, right? some people may do, but I'm talking about the majority, right? You don't go and get on a train unless you know where you're going. Do not go to bed with no direction or destination for tomorrow. Plan your day, plan your week, right? Go to bed early. Get enough sleep. Wake up at the same time. So to do what Laurie Haynes does, or to do what anyone needs to do in order to be a better person, set a wake-up time and get out of bed. Even if it fucking means standing up, leaning your head against the wall with one eye going, oh, do you think I wake up every day and like, woo, let's do this? Admittedly, my ADHD takes over. I do that and I bounce around the house like a fucking monkey that's been let out of the zoo. However, some days I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this. I walk to my cold plunge going, I don't want to do this. Oh, should I have one day off? And my mind says, this is what you do now. This is who you are. Are you going to lie to yourself like you used to? If you don't get in there, you're beating and defeating yourself. So I just step in there and it's freezing. I put my other leg, it's cold. And I just sit down and then I'm in. And I stand up after. I'm like, yes, that's the reason why I did it. We build up too much pressure. We build up too much inferior. And then we don't do things that we set ourselves up to do. Just get in there and do it. You are not going to die. Just get in there, indulge yourself, scream, breathe, do whatever you need to do the first few times. Just get that done. Now, if you can't afford a plunge pool, right, or a built one or whatever, go get a recycling bin and fill it up with cold water and just go get some cheap bags of ice. It might be 12, 15 degrees. It's never going to be in the minuses like mine, whatever. I'm talking about people that maybe don't have the finances to be able to pay for that. Just get in a cold shower. It's brutal, I'll be honest. But just stand in the shower for 60 seconds, even if you've got to tense yourself and go, you're going to get an endorphin rush. That endorphin is now going to suppress the need for Netflix, social media, binging pornography. You're not going to need to do many of those things, sugar, sweets, chocolate, crisp, sausage roll, sat at your desk. You're not going to need to do all those things because you're going to get your endorphin and dopamine from a cold shower. So anybody that's listening to this, set a bedtime routine, plan for the day ahead and the week ahead. Get up when you said you're going to get up and your alarm goes off. Do not dare ever hit that snooze button, because the problem is we have sleep cycles. And if you when you wake up, if you then lay there and drift off for 15 minutes, not always, but most of the time, you're going to slip back into a sleep cycle that needs around 45 to 90 minutes, depending on who you are, your body size, et cetera, right? Let's say you need an hour. If you're 15 minutes into that hour and you wake up, you're going to be like, oh, I'm still so tired. You're going to feel groggy. You're going to feel terrible. What a way to start your day. It would be like walking into a date with a new woman that you've just met, and then she says something, or she just does a big fart. What a way to set the fucking tone, right? What a way to set the tone. And it works the same way, right? It's funny. Set the tone right for yourself. Get up when you set your alarm. Go into the bathroom, throw cold water in your face, brush your teeth, go downstairs, drink a pint of water. You're not a kid. Drink a pint of water. I can't do it. Yes, you can. Drink a pint of water and then allow yourself 10 minutes just to relax. Do not look at your phone. It's 5, 6 a.m. in the morning, whatever time you're going to get up. Do not look at your phone. You have no need to look at your phone. Stop watching the news, allowing it to pollute your mindset. Stop scrolling on social media. The posts are not going anywhere. You do not need to wake up and I hear it and see it. Some people wake up and the first thing is grab their phone, one eye open, scrolling through social media. Why? Why is that? You have an addiction to something. Whether you want to admit it or not, you have an addiction. So the guys, sorry, in a roundabout way of your question, set a bedtime routine, set a wake-up alarm, do not snooze, get up, drink a pint of water, make your bed, and then execute your day. No negotiables. What you have set, you are doing. Unless a tornado blows your house to the floor, or unless a serious emergency happens, you have zero excuses. Right? If you're not sick, you have zero excuses. I do it all the time, even for instance with like Fern. She's a powerful woman. She does so much. Some days she won't get in the ice bath. I'm like, get in the ice bath. She's like, no, I'm like, get in the ice bath. And I'm like, are you a weak individual? Are you going to give up on yourself? She's like, no, get in the ice bath. She'll go, right, come on then. And she'll go get in there. But the problem is, I know that's the mindset of a lot of people. And I'm not going to be at your front door at 5:15, 6 o'clock to drag your ass in the plunge pool. And this isn't all about a plunge pool, it's just because you referenced it. If you don't have one, take a cold shower. But you need to do things in the right way. You need to reorder and structure your life. For instance, don't wake up and drink a coffee straight away, because the minute you wake up, your body produces enough insulin, enough caffeine, enough sugar. Your body produces that because you've been asleep, right? So it's like, boom, cortisol, let's go. What's going on? The minute you put sugar on top of it, it spikes your insulin levels, and then you instantly go up and then down. And then they go for another coffee. You're up and you're down. You need to at least be awake for 60 to 90 minutes before you start necking coffees. Just give yourself some time. Like, try and do a breath work. And people go, oh, breath work. I know all my old friends are big, ruggedy builders. All that fucking breath work malarkey. What's all that about? That's exactly how they speak, right? And I'm like, when you play football with the dads on a Sunday or whatever it is you do, try and do it holding your breath. When you're having a panic attack and the ambulance says, breathe, breathe, everything is with your breath. Your breath controls everything. And you'll realize throughout this pod, I've mentioned many things. And some people are going, what? I can't do that and that and that and that and that. You've got to get a structured routine with it all. Everything follows suit. And that's why we've got the Shara circle. The way you breathe, the way you meditate, the way you sleep, the way you journal, the way you self-reflect, the things you do in the morning, the things you do at night, the things you eat, the literature you read, the podcasts you listen to are very important, right? Because you're polluting your mind. You can look at some countries like in Korea and certain places in Russia. Their mindsets are very polluted by the people at the top because that's all they hear and what they're told. If you listen to shit, you're going to believe in shit. That's the difference.
I'm fired up. I'm running for a wall after this, I'm telling you. So I think that gives us like a really good insight into what you're like, what you've overcome, how you set yourself up to succeed day in, day out, and the work and the dedication that takes. So if I'm on that journey now and I've come across Shara, how would that fit into my day to at least get me on the path and start in those good habits? How would it help me put one foot in front of the other?
So we've got a powerful feature and a tool called Rituals. You create your rituals. You can select from our library of content or you can create your own. They give you little accountable nudges to your smart device, your watch, your phone. They ping up and it'll be like, hey, Zach, have you drunk your water today? Because you set 3 liters of water as your target and you'll go, oh, no, there you go. And you'll start drinking your water. It's those little gentle reminders and nudges that you need to do it and action it. But also because you know that you set that. It's when you journal what you've done in the day, you can reflect. People don't realize the power in self-reflection. And if you watched a video back on yourself from last year, last month, whenever it might have been, and you watched yourself at a party, at an event, you go, oh, that's cringy, I can't watch that. I hear that all the time. Why? Why can't you watch it? Well, imagine if you never journaled every day of your life or every week or a handful of times. And imagine you never self-reflected all the things that you've done and been through. They're just the same. You have to do it in order to understand where the power can come from and how to admit to that new frequency of change. Now, the next part of it is gratitude. People say, well, I don't know what I'm grateful for. I'm like, hold your breath. Come here. And I'll put my hand in my mouth and hold the breath. I did it to my brother and I held it. He was like, you're going to fucking kill me. I said, you're grateful for your breath now, aren't you? There's one small thing that we take for granted every day. The legs you use to walk. Somebody in a wheelchair would do anything to walk again. And there you are sat there moaning about your fucking life. But you can walk. You can breathe. You have great vision. Good hearing. Food in your fridge. Food in your tummy. A bed to sleep in. Friends that support you. Maybe or maybe not. You know, something that's different to everybody. But you have fresh water in your tap. There's people on the streets with nothing. Like, be grateful for the everyday thing that you have within an inch of you or within an arm reach of you. Show gratitude. And then you can show gratitude for the business you've got, the money in your bank account, everything else that you've got. If you show gratitude, you automatically sit at such a high frequency. That is then going to encourage you towards your goals. Set goals. And everything that I mentioned now is in the Shara app. We have a goal feature. It alerts you. You can set checklists and target dates next to it. You can daily journal. You can write cleanse. Cleanse the things that you want out of your mind, and all these bin animations come up and the phone vibrates and it activates something in your brain. And we've got things that can activate and trigger your reward system, because when you trigger a reward system, you remember it more. It's like a dog. If every time Zach and Jack, you two guys, if every time you did something, I rewarded you with a £10 note, you would keep doing that and you'd be excited to do it. Because every time you got a tenner, like a dog gets a treat, right? If you activate your reward system when you do something, you want to do it more. And that's the difference with cheap dopamine and cheap endorphin hits. You activate it in a negative way and you want to do it more, because it's that little feeling, right? And that's why people get addicted to sex, to pornography, to sugar, to all these types of things, because they don't have an inner deep fulfillment and they don't have purpose. Purpose is such a powerful word in everything I'm using today, because I know where my goals are. I know what I want from life. I know what I need to do. So I have purpose, right? I'm a purpose-driven individual, which means you're going to follow suit. And that's a very important thing. And everything I mentioned, as I said earlier, is all in the Shura. We've got pods. We have our own studio here. We record with experts. We talk about everything from the menstrual cycle, pregnancy, all the way through to drug addiction, alcohol addiction, everything you can imagine, right? From the mental health and well-being space. And these pods help you understand what it is, how to deal with it, and just sort of give you that bit of sort of help to know you're not alone, and then how you can help get over it, right? So there's pods in there, there's meditations, there's breath work, there's the rituals feature, there's goals, there's affirmations, there's journaling, and a powerful tool that we've got is an AI therapy tool. It's a therapeutic companion. Now, if you think ChatGPT is very intelligent and clever, this tool is powered by OpenAI, which owns ChatGPT. We've also put over 1 million data sheets in there. We use Perplexly AI. We've got a handful of tools in one place. So ChatGPT will say, hey, Zach, I'm an AI. I don't have any emotion. Ours will have a full conversation with you and help you through anything with no opinions. It will never judge you. And most importantly, it comes at everything with the quantum thinking approach. And quantum thinking, just to touch base, is something that I studied for a while, many years back, because I wanted to understand what everyone's thought process and patterns was within one conversation, let's say. So right now I'm talking, but I'm sort of also analyzing both of you guys and thinking, what are you thinking? And how can I misinterpret things? How can I understand what you want me to say? And when you can understand that, it takes a while to learn. You can then understand a lot of things in life, right? And salesmen don't know it, but they actually have quantum thinking buried in. When you get a true salesman, they have it inside them because they understand the person very quickly and what both outcomes. You need to understand what you're saying versus what they're hearing, because otherwise it's not going to meet in the middle, right? So quantum thinking, and that's what our therapy tool called Shuru does. And Shuru means Shiraz Trusted Guru. Now we've got mood and emotion trackers, sleep trackers. It's a full 360 well-being suite. And that's why we've got some of the UK's biggest clients using us already. UK's biggest companies as clients, should I say. And we've got 57,000 active users. And we don't have zero marketing budget. So when you use our platform and you really want to use it, it will change your life. If you are looking for a magic wand, it might last a week, a month, or 3 months. You have to want it. There is no magic wand in life. And that's a fact.
So if I'm sat in my car now and I'm listening to this and Shara is a doctor, what symptoms do I need to have as a potential good patient?
Okay. So you need to be somebody that is looking for change, looking for growth, willing to accept where you're at, and willing to adopt new practices, new approaches to your life. And you've got to be someone that's determined to stick to what you're about to activate. Yeah, there's no point setting up the whole app, going through it all, and then sitting there going, oh, I don't want to drink 3 litres of water. I want a bottle of Coke. Or, nah, fuck bedtime. I'm watching Netflix till midnight. You're going to do that. It ain't for you. And you are going to continue to live the same miserable life that you're living. And that is on you. Those that blame other people should be looking at themselves in the mirror. And there's little things like, and it's such a powerful thing. I heard it the other day. People that overeat, they're overweight. Every time you go to get chocolate bar out of the fridge, take your t-shirt off, go to the mirror and squeeze your hip whilst you're eating that chocolate bar. Look at yourself in the face, stare in that mirror, squeeze your belly fat and eat that chocolate bar. Let's see how many times you want to keep eating them chocolate bars. That's self-reflection in the most brutal way possible. How many people will do it? None. Because they don't want to change. That's the difference. So the ideal candidate, the ideal scenario would be somebody that is looking for change and is willing to accept change and they want growth in their own life. Adopt these tools. Make them your new religion. They are non-negotiable. Do not change them. Do not alter them unless it's better serving you. Stick to it. Give yourself the opportunity that you deserve and just go for it. That's all I can say is just go for it and give it a try.
Laurie, I feel very fired up after this conversation. I think there's loads and loads of takeaways. I feel like you could probably do a whole episode on quantum thinking and other bits. I guess if anybody wants to check you out or they want to kind of get involved with you, a lot of businesses listen to this, where can they find you? How can they get in touch?
So you can find me on LinkedIn. I always answer my messages. You can go to my Instagram, Loza Haynes. I'm on every social media platform. I mean, I'm pretty much, you can find me anywhere. Loza Haynes on Instagram, Laurie Haynes on LinkedIn. Go to the Shira website, fill out a contact us form. Go to Instagram, type in Shira. You can find us anywhere. And I'm always sort of helpful and willing to answer as many questions as I can. Obviously, I get inundated with a lot of DMs, but I do try my best to get back to a lot of people, even in the comments. So I'm talking on Instagram more, but LinkedIn, I'm very active on there. So come and join the movement, be a part of evolution. Prevention is the way forward. And that's what we're doing. And that's what we're going to showcase. And that's why we're disrupting this mental health and wellbeing industry. Crisis is too far. Let's stick with prevention. Let's work on prevention. And let's support those that keep our businesses alive. Because you've got a corporate responsibility and it's on you. How these individuals feel in the workplace, how they feel when they go home, it's on you.
Thank you so much for joining us, Laurie.
You're more than welcome. Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it.